Hi. I got a tape I want to play.
It's the 15th anniversary of Stop Making Sense, the landmark concert film of the Talking Heads. The film was recently re-released and is touring theaters nationwide. You can also see it and hear it in its remixed, remastered glory on DVD and CD.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. Tense and nervous, can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Puffy, 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 better. Run, 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 run away. Oh, 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 oh,
We're featuring an interview with David Byrne, the co-founder, lead singer, and primary songwriter for the Talking Heads. The band started out as part of the New York new wave scene in the 70s. They later expanded their sound with African and funk influences, and Byrne went off to do his own projects. He worked with producer Brian Eno, composed music for the Twyla Tharp Dance Company, and directed the film True Stories. Eventually, Talking Heads broke up, and Byrne became infatuated with Latin music. He started his own record label, Waka Bop. Terry Gross spoke with David Byrne in 1992 about his work with Talking Heads.
You know, when Talking Heads started, I thought of your music then as being very pared down instrumentally, vocally, even visually, and that the band would like wear T-shirts on stage. And I'm wondering how much impact the music of other cultures had on you in your sense of stage presence, you know, theatrical presence, both in, like, in the way that you dress and even in the sense of like arrangements and how big they should be, and what the difference is finally to you between slick and show busy and just like good theatrical.
It seems to me that when a lot of people start out, whether it's a choreographer, a musician, or theater or whatever, that you often start out by throwing out everything from the past, and you pare things down to just the essentials, to what you feel comfortable with. And gradually, it seems that you can, there's more and more that you feel comfortable with, that you understand about performing and about this stage and musical ideas. And so you can kind of include more and more elements in what you do. I guess the danger with starting out having a lot of, you know, having a lot of music, a lot of sounds, a lot of instruments, or a lot of stage things going on, is that it's overwhelming in the beginning. It's too early to have formed an attitude or an approach about it. And so a lot of times you end, if you do it too early, you end up doing things that you've seen other people do. You end up imitating other performers and not doing it, not making it your own. And I guess if you gradually add little things over the years, it can happen in a kind of organic way where those elements become your own.
Yeah, because I think early on your attitude was very kind of anti-showbiz in every way.
Uh-huh. I think for me, when Talking Heads first started touring, after a few years of touring, I saw lots of different kinds of theatrical practice, whether it was music shows or kabuki theater or whatever. And eventually I came to accept that, it seems really obvious, but I came to accept that the stage is a really artificial place to be. No matter how much I might kind of strip down and kind of want to show my real self or just be an ordinary guy or whatever, it's impossible, because the stage is not a place where anybody can be ordinary, or the idea of having realism on a stage is kind of bogus, because as soon as you put something on stage, it's not real anymore. It's about artifice. And so I kind of at some point accepted that that artifice is part of what goes on stage, whether it's music or theater or whatever. And it just depends on how you want to use it.
David Byrne from a 1992 interview with Terry Gross. We'll hear more after the break. This is Fresh Air. We're back with a 1992 interview with musician David Byrne.
What's the story of how you first hooked up with Tina Weymouth and Chris Franz to join Talking Heads? I mean, to form Talking Heads.
I'd been in a band with Chris when he was at Stone Art School, and I was kind of just hanging around the community. And then at some point we had sort of said, well, let's meet up again in New York. So when they graduated from school and they came to New York, and you know, I'd been writing these songs and stuff, so it was kind of like, I think it was Chris who said, well, let's get a band together and do this stuff. There's a couple of places we could play, one of which was CBGB's, which was a place where bands could actually play their own material. And there wasn't the usual demand that you had to do that week's top 20 or whatever. So there was a forum for bands doing their own stuff to play in. So it kind of was an incentive to kind of put it together and try it out. And that was kind of what Chris proposed, that we said, kind of, let's try it out. We'll never know if it works if we don't try it.
Let me play something from the first Talking Heads album, Talking Heads 77. And I really love this record, and I think every time I play it, it really holds up. There's nothing that sounds dated about it. I thought I would play Baby, It's You, or Who Is It? It's called.
That's a short one, yeah.
Yeah, well, I tell you, you know, I think of Talking Heads in the early days as having had a really pared-down style, and I think this song really...
It sure is pared down,
yeah. Uh-huh. It's really catchy. I really love this song. It's almost kind of like the semiotics of rock lyrics, too, you know? Uh-huh. Just like, baby, it's you.
Yep, that's about it, too.
Yeah. Do you want to say anything about writing this?
Yeah, that's kind of what it was. I thought, well, I'll pare a song down to really just... the just bare essentials, kind of no verse, no chorus, just three words or whatever, and there you go.
Let's hear it. Who is it?
I remembered something else about when I started writing songs that ended up being, a lot of them being Talking Heads songs.
Uh-huh.
Was that I had a feeling about the lyrics of rock and roll songs. I had a feeling that there was this kind of ongoing tradition of kind of stylized lyrics, whether it was, meant people pretending they were black and from the South or whatever. There was this whole kind of genre or style of writing lyrics for rock and roll songs. And I just thought, I'm going to throw all that out and try and write in a just real straightforward style and use language that is not song language. That's more either kind of, it's more like written language or spoken language, but it's not the kind of accepted song language. I thought, I'm going to see if that works. I think some of it worked. Some of it did, but I think some of it worked.
Earlier you said that when you started performing, you really didn't think of yourself as a singer, but as someone who had an impassioned style singing interesting songs. when you formed Talking Heads, you were the lead singer of the band. Were you self-conscious about being the lead singer?
I think only now am I beginning to get comfortable on stage in front of an audience. Although I love doing it, and it's obviously real cathartic for me. I think in the beginning it looked like, you know, I'd been shoved out there. I was going through some kind of torture. I've seen videotapes. I looked totally traumatized, like I've been in some kind of shock on stage.
Why did Talking Heads eventually split apart?
I'm not sure. I think the seeds of a kind of the disillusion of a band are kind of planted the minute a band begins to have some success. It's as if the thing that makes it grow and succeed is also the thing that's going to eventually kill it. And I think that's the as you succeed, as we kind of survived anyway, we found that we each needed our own space. We each developed our own friends. And part of that was just out of necessity. We'd been hanging around each other so much that if we kept hanging in such close quarters, we would have been killing one another. So out of necessity, we gradually kind of drifted apart a little bit. And so for a number of years, I guess, we kind of maintained a balance of keeping our own lives separate from the band and then coming together and making music. Mm-hmm. And eventually, I guess it just gets to be more than, at least from my point of view, more than makes sense. It becomes more like a business than it started out being. So that eventually, you drift apart further and further until it gets to a point where you start wondering, why are we working together? Who are these people? I hardly know this person anymore. That kind of thing, which is... It's sad, but it seems like it's natural, too.
Okay. Well, David Byrne, thank you a lot for talking with us.
Okay.
David Byrne. Stop Making Sense has just been re-released on CD and DVD. The film is also touring theaters across the country until November 10th. This is Fresh Air.